are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the key to transformation is beholding the glory of the Lord. To be changed, which is our pursuit, to be conformed. What are we being changed into? We are being conformed into the image of Christ. We're being conformed into His image, according to Romans 8:29. The Bible says we are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. That is our predestined purpose. Our destiny is to become like Christ. That's what we're changing into. You're not just changing into a better woman. You're not changing into a better man. You're being changed into Christ. That's the Father's purpose and the Father's desire, that you'll be a son. You'll live just like Jesus. Amen? Jesus was the Word made flesh. You will be the Word made flesh. This Word will become flesh in you, and you'll walk just like a son. Hallelujah. And that is accomplished only by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us through this transition. Well, I stress, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, make that your pursuit this weekend, that you will get filled. Because it is the Spirit of God who begins to shift you into this transformation. I don't change myself. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen? The Holy Spirit, He dresses us. He dresses us in Christ. He dresses you, and we're the bride, and he makes sure that as the bride, we're dressed and prepared for the marriage. So He shows you what Christ likes. He shows you what Christ wants. He teaches you. That's why the Bible says that the anointing shall teach you all things, and how to abide in Him, mm-hmm. and how to live in Christ. The Holy Spirit will teach you that. He makes sure that we're dressed appropriately for the wedding. And so we need the Holy Spirit to guide us through this entire process. Amen? And in this particular verse, however, we want to realize that Paul writes that with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory. Now that glass is a mirror. And he says the glass is talking about a mirror. So when you view a mirror, if I'm looking at a mirror, I'm supposed to be seeing a reflection, right? I'm seeing a reflection of who I am. So Paul says that when we behold Him as in a mirror, the glory of God, I'll be changed into that same image. Why? Because my destiny is to be just like Jesus. In other words, who I am now is not who I really am supposed to be. I'm supposed to be just like Him. I was created in His image and in His likeness. When we sin, the Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of the Lord. We fell short of the glory because we lost sight of Christ. And out of that, we developed our own ways of doing things. We formed, the Bible says Adam took, what did he take? And formed the fig leaves, thank you. And covered himself. You know, he did all this stuff. And he, and out of that, because we were outside of the glory of God, we were outside of His presence, we were outside of His glory, we developed our own way of doing things. But God is saying that you were created to live in the image of Christ. And the Spirit of God has come to bring us back, to give us life and life more abundantly. Amen?
Amen.
Let's read up. Let's go back a little bit in the same 2 Corinthians. Let's look at verse 15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when they shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. The Bible says when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. What is it talking about when Moses is read? Talking about the law, right? The law of Moses. What happened with the law of Moses? When Moses appeared before the Lord, the Bible says that the glory of God was upon Moses to the degree that his glory, his face was shining, right? His face was emanating the light from God's presence. And when the people who rejected God in Exodus chapter 20, when they said, Moses, we don't want to hear from God, you speak to Him on our behalf. And you come, remember that, Exodus 20?
Yeah.
You speak to us. When they rejected and neglected having the opportunity to have a relationship with God and settled for religion, they settled for the veil. They settled for that. When Moses came on with the glory was too bright, they told Moses, put this veil on, you can't see. They covered him, and he put this veil upon him. But the veil covered the glory. The glory was behind the veil. And then the Bible says that when the glory was lifting off of Moses, right? Because it didn't stay with Moses. It faded away eventually, the glory. He wasn't as bright as he was. When the glory faded and lifted off of Moses, they didn't know because his face was still covered with the veil. To this day, they're still reading Moses, hoping the glory will be there, but the glory has already lifted. The glory has transferred over to Christ. It's not on Moses anymore, it's on Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. The glory shifted off of Moses. It's not in the old covenant. It's not in the old legalistic approaches that they had to go through to get to God anymore. It's in this new covenant, this new opportunity that we have through Christ, where the glory now is experienced in us. Amen? That veil that Moses had covered him is removed. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away, right? Because the glory is on Christ now, so the veil is lifted when we turn to Christ. And in verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Come on. Because of the old covenant, they didn't have liberty, right? They had regulation.
Right.
Laws, right? And they settled for that. They settled. They settled for regulation and not revelation. They settled for protocol and not presence. Right? They didn't want to embrace the relationship factor with God. And God says, no, the veil is lifted, you can come freely into this glory. It also lets us know that in Exodus, right, when the priest, who can go into the holy place? It was only the high priest who had the opportunity to go behind the veil. And behind the veil, the glory was. They would experience the cloud and the glory, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? And what happened was, because they didn't want to have this first-hand experience with God, I had to raise up one or two people to go and do it. Right? That sucks. These one or two people. And what was so crazy was because you rejected me, when they come into my presence, you make sure you stand behind that veil. Because if His glory would touch you, you would die. Mm-hmm. Right? They couldn't go. Only these people had the grace to go in. In other words, because they didn't want this first-hand experience with God, they had to set up for second-hand smoke. And secondhand smoke can kill you. Right? So when the glory appeared in the cloud, in the temple, behind the veil, they couldn't go in, they couldn't experience that. And if the secondhand smoke touched them, they would die. So now, God is lifting the veil, amen? He's lifted that so that we can all go. The Bible says Jesus ripped the veil when he died, amen, on the cross. He ripped that veil, gave us access, gave us the freedom and the liberty to come boldly before the throne of grace, amen? We have that freedom. And when we behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, amen? You are the temple of the Lord. That veil is your flesh. The glory is behind the veil. If you can press your way behind the flesh and get into the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is, then you begin to start experiencing the glory of God.
Yes.
Where is the glory? The glory is in you.
Yes.
For it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory is inside of you, the one place you would never thought of looking. That's why it's the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's only those who were willing, wait a minute, Christ lives in me. So his the glory is where is in me, the glory is restored in me. Now what I have to do is go behind the veil. I have to go in. This is what we do in a secret place. This is what you do in your meditation and your prayer time. You learn how to go behind the veil, press in past your flesh, and begin to press into the glory that's waiting inside of you to be released. Hallelujah. This is what we're doing. We're pursuing that glory. Amen. The glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we got to pass the flesh. Go within. Go within us. Go and look and see that Christ is in you because Jesus is here. Amen. That means we have to remove the Old Testament thinking. Yeah. The old way Moses was read, the way that they did it, is not what we're going to do. We're not working with our flesh. We're not trying to do anything to get God to work on our behalf. We simply just embrace this presence and embrace the glory. Embrace the fact that Christ lives in you. Embrace the fact that there's glory in you right now. What do you say about in the new covenant, under the new covenant, this new promise that I will put my spirit in them. I will write my laws in their hearts and minds. It's in you already. Once you accepted Christ, all that stuff is here. Come on. You know, the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Lord showed me, the Holy Spirit doesn't testify of the laws. It doesn't testify of Moses. It only testifies of Jesus. That's what Jesus said, right? And the Holy Spirit, He will testify of me. So one of the things God showed me, He said, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you with the law. He doesn't convict you with the law, because that's of Moses. He doesn't convict you with that. What does He come to do? He convicts us of unbelief. According to John 16. What unbelief? Unbelief in what? Whenever we neglect the fact that I have Christ. Because it's easy to look at my sinfulness. It's easy to see that, but it's harder to believe I'm righteous. I can see how sinful I am, but to believe I'm righteous, it's taking some time for a lot of us to simply believe that. Mm-hmm. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict us of unbelief. When we don't believe that you're righteous, the Holy Spirit has to come and say, you're righteous. Why? Because the law is already in me. So it's going to convict me on its own.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit comes to convict me now of unbelief. Whenever I doubt that I have power, whenever I doubt that I'm righteous, whenever I doubt that I'm holy, whenever I doubt that I'm these things in Christ, the Holy Spirit has to come and now remind me and bring me back into that place of believing. Amen. The Holy Spirit. He needs to become our best friend. Because even when we don't believe in ourselves, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and testify of Jesus. Say, come on, get it together.
Mm-hmm.
You are in me. You are righteous. You are holy. You are saved. So many of us got to believe that we're saved first. You're saved once you accept Christ. You don't have to live every day worried about me not going to hell. Not going to heaven. You're already in there. You're living in heaven. You gotta live there. Set your mind on things that are above. You are seated in heavenly places. You're not wondering if you're gonna make it in. We're operating now from heaven to earth. We're operating from a heavenly perspective. As we seek the kingdom and its righteousness, all these things will be added to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Why? Because we're there already. Amen? You hear that, Don? Hallelujah. So let's pick it up. So now, what is this glory? So we're talking about having glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You understand that Jesus is the glory. But you can write this down. Glory. There's three words that I want to share. The first word is kabod. This is the Hebrew word for glory. K-A-B-O-D. Kabod, which means heavy in weight.
The weight of your glory. Wow.
Heavy in weight.
Jesus.
Alright. Now, weight speaks of importance that is recognizable. Importance that is recognizable. It is the presence, the reputation, or the character of a person with high importance. In other words, a person that has weight who comes into your job is your boss, right? Your boss has weight. He's a recognized authority. In that place, he has the ability to fire you and fire others. He has the ability to make changes. So he's important. So depending on your relationship with the boss and how he is, if you don't see him often or whatever, if your boss walks into your office or walks in somewhere, everyone's attention begins to shift to the weight of the boss. Because when he comes in, you understand the authority and power that he has. Right? And kind of, when you think about weight, you understand that he got weight. When you talk about somebody who's a boss or somebody who has power, like, oh, that person holds weight. It's a phrase we used to use. I don't think people still use it, right? Yeah. Nah, right? But people, somebody who holds weight, they have importance. A gang leader walks somewhere, or he got weight, so everybody's like, oh, just watch out, because he's here. Right? So that's what we talk about weight. It's the importance of a person. Another thing that you want to realize about weight, because it grabs the attention of a person, glory or kabod is usually connected to wealth. It's usually connected to power. It's usually connected to beauty. Or it's usually connected to majesty or royalty. Those things are manifestations of a person who has glory. Whether this person is beautiful, wow, she's beautiful, everyone stops and looks at them. Right? She's grabbing the attention. The person has power, that grabs your attention. The person has wealth, they grab your attention, right? Bill Gates was to walk in. Doesn't matter if you didn't really like Bill Gates. If you was to walk in right now, everyone is going to stop listening to me and look at Bill Gates. Like, wow, Bill Gates is here. He would grab your attention, even if it's just for a few seconds. He would grab your attention. Compared to as when the workers here walk past, you don't even pay any mind to them. You see what I'm talking about? It's innate in you to pay attention to someone who has glory, who has weight. Because you understand that there is earthly glory and there is divine glory, heavenly glory. Your boss has an earthly glory. He has a weight. But there is heavenly glory now. You get what I'm saying? So somebody who has earthly glory, Oprah, has earthly glory. She has wealth. She has power. When she walks somewhere, everyone's going to pay attention to her. Why? Because she's weight. She holds weight. She has glory. And that glory, the earthly glory, is the glory that God wants to give. That God wants us to give to Him. Mm-hmm. See, when we talk about I'm bringing glory to God, what are you bringing glory to God with? It's the great things that you do. It's why God wants you to be great. He wants you to be significant in the earth. Because when you are great, He gets glory from that.
Yes.
If I was living wishy-washy and I'm not doing nothing, what glory am I bringing to God?
Come on.
Right? God wants you to be great on the earth, and then you'll begin to shift that glory to Him, and that's why He's glorified. So what God wants for us, and when we talk about carrying the glory to the nations, we'll get into that a little bit more. God wants us to actually go into the world. Get into different spheres, whether it's the music arena, whether it's the fashion arena, whether it's the entertainment industry, all those different systems, political realms, wherever we can go, God wants us to invade those systems, get to a place where we get credibility and get glory from people, and then we transfer that glory over to God. Wow. That's how God gets glory.
Amen.
Come on. God wants kings and people, presidents. God wants corporate leaders. God wants those people to be in Him, to be carrying His name. Because when we're in His name, we'll be giving Him that glory. So right now, the devil has been getting a lot of glory here. Because his people are on the top. His people are doing things and making decisions in the world. Come on. For God wants to make you a candidate. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I said the expectations will change after this weekend. Because you're going to realize God wants me great. That's why He's going to give me favor. He's going to give me favor when I go into good jobs and opportunities. He's going to open up doorways so that I can step foot. He's going to give me favor in real estate or whatever that I have in my heart to do. He's going to make me, He wants to make me the best at it. God wants us to be millionaires. Billionaires. Why? Because through wealth, one of the things that manifests glory, we have the ability to release that glory to God. Yes. God wants you to be rich. Amen?
Amen.
So you guys see it? There's earthly glory, heavenly glory. We take the earthly glory, we transfer it. That's why the devil is fighting so hard against that.
That's right. That's right.
You guys know that in Luke, when the devil tempted Jesus, in the last temptations, the Bible says that he took Jesus up to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and its glory. Mm-hmm. And he said, all these things I will give to you if you bow down and worship me.
Wow.
He showed him the kingdoms, the systems of the world. He showed him all those things, what he's in control of. He said, I'll give you these and its glory. See that? And it is that once again, that glory, although he tempted, he had to tempt Jesus with something that he would want. He had to tempt him with something that he wanted. He didn't tempt him, he noticed he didn't tempt him with souls. He didn't say, I'll give you all the souls of the people if you worship me. Because Jesus was after the kingdoms.
Amen.
Jesus after the glory.
Amen.
Because when I get control of that, I will have souls. The devil has this generation by a hook because of the glory of rap artists.
Mm-hmm.
You see how it works? He gives them, they got ice, they got bling, they got cars, all this wealth and splendor and majesty that it seems to be. And people are attracted to that glory and they want that. That's how it works. So Jesus saying, if I get glory, if I get in control, all I have to do is get two or three, four people who are at the high place in society, who will then people will be turned to them and get attention, and then they will just lead them to me.
Yeah.
Because then if I'm lifted up, I can draw all men that way. So it's almost like a race to the top. Who's gonna get to the top of the mountain?
Wow.
Who's at the high place? Because whoever's there will be able to determine the course of the rest of the generations, the rest of those that are under them. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
This is what God wants to do in us.
Yes.
This is how we're going to be glory to God.
Amen.
He wants us to have weight, not just in the spirit, but in the earth realm.
Yes.
But I realize when you do have weight in the spirit, favor will turn you away. Right? And the doors are open. It's like almost like a leverage.
Yeah.
You leverage your way, and you have this ability. You see, like, wow, what is it about you?
I think it's
coming. Come, join my company. Come, come in here. There's something about you. They want you here.
Mm-hmm.
So they did with Joseph. It's what they did with Daniel. You see that? This is what God's going to do. So God is going to use the prophetic. He's going to use the supernatural. He's going to use the realms of glory and all the stuff that we use. But He's going to now bring it into a place where we enter into the arenas of the earth, the arenas of the world, and begin to influence people along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you have a prophetic word from your boss, and your boss is like, thank you. Let me make you a supervisor.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right? The Lord, your boss is going through something. Maybe his wife is sick. I'm going to touch and agree. I'm going to pray with you. And I pray. And I say, I'm going to pray for your wife and she's going to get better. You may not even have to touch and agree with him. Just send a word like Jesus did.
Right.
And you tell him, I'm going to send a word. Your wife's going to get healed. His wife comes back and she's healed. What would he not want to do to repay you?
Right.
Right? That's how you maneuver your way. What did David do? King Saul had a tormented spirit. He said, let me call David. There's somebody I need to play. Somebody anointed to play for me. He called David. David played. And what did he do? Won favor with Saul and his kingdom. And God positioned him there in order for him to take over the kingdom. That's how God does it. But you have to first, when you love God and you learn how to soak and be intimate with Him, then God can now send you up out to the world.
Yeah.
So David was able to go and slay Goliath because of the intimate relationship he had with him before. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And when you realize with David, he got into a place. See, many of us, we're too afraid to get into even the proximity of a Goliath. Because we don't know we got power. We don't know we have grace. But you know you have power. The Bible says, and when you know the Lord, you should be strong and do great exploits. When you do know God, and you're like, I've got power, then you're able to go into a face of Goliath and be confident in that. Amen?
Come on.
See, David got glory after slaying Goliath, but he had to face the Goliath.
Yes.
He had to get into striking distance in order to sling a slingshot near him. How do we expect to impact the judicial systems if we don't want to get into the legal systems? So the spirit of religion has been saying, oh, you can't do this, this is of the world, this stuff is for the world. You used to come here and you can only live, do these sanctified jobs.
Yes.
And you can't do these secular jobs. What's a sanctified job?
Right. What is that? Church work.
Amen.
Answering
the phone and shit.
Right.
Oh.
That's just
awful. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
So we want the glory, right? The glory. Another word for glory. So I gotta go. Don't be pressed. Let's look at the next word. Shekinah glory. Are you guys familiar with that? Shekinah.
Yes.
I think it's a different spelling. Shekinah. Shekinah glory is the manifested, visible presence of God. Come on. The manifested presence of God dwelling in the presence of His people. Examples of Shekinah glory is when the cloud filled the temple in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1 through 3. Or Exodus 16:10, when the cloud led the people of Israel through the wilderness. What's the example of Shekinah? The visible, manifested presence of God. Amen. Many of us, we want to see the Shekinah. We want to see the cloud appearing here. We want to see the light of His glory. We want to see that. So if I was to give you an example right now of a definition of glory, it would be the weighty, manifested presence of God. So when you talk about the glory, you're talking about the weighty, evident, manifested presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah 6. Oh, no, thank you. Another one, the cloud and the glory, right? Isaiah 6. So talking about the glory is the weighty, evident, manifested presence of God. There's one more word for glory in the scriptures called doxa, D-O-X-A. It's the Greek word for glory.
So what's Shekinah? Is Shekinah Hebrew also?
And this word glory means God's nature, attributes, His ways, His nature, His attributes, His ways, His power, His acts. So nature, attributes, ways, power, and acts manifested or exhibited through Christ, those in Christ, and creation. So another is the nature, the attributes, the ways, the power, the acts. Basically, all of who God is manifested through Jesus, through His people, or creation. This word glory is found in John 2, verse 11. John chapter 2, verse 11. This is when Jesus performed His first miracle that is recorded in the scriptures. John 2 verse 11, turning the water into wine. And the Bible says that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. So another definition of that word doxa is the supernatural emanating from God. This is the glory. A lot of us, when we pray and we heal people and we do miracles and we do those things, that's the doxa glory. That's the manifestation or the exhibited power of God. When we do a work, when we do something for God, when we do a powerful act of God, that's a doxa. That's the glory. That's that type of glory. So you have the miraculous miraculous demonstration of God's glory. We have the manifested visible presence of God, which is the appearance of His glory, and then you have the kabod, which is the weight of God's glory. And all those things will work together. Amen. All those things will work together when we understand it a little better. So I'm almost done. So we're going to bring it all in. Let's look at this last text, Exodus. One of my favorite passages of scripture. Amen. So we're talking about the glory. The glory is the culmination of who God is. All that He is, His attributes, His ways, His power, His presence, everything is who God is. His presence is His glory. And this is what we see Moses asking for in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Let's read from verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Amen. This is what Moses, I was asking the Lord, God was telling Moses that he's going to go forth and possess the land. But before he went to possess the land, the promised land, Moses was like, God, I don't want to go without you. So we see in verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, Lord, show me now your way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, If your presence goes not with me, carry us not up hence. Moses said, Lord, before we go into this land, I understand that without your presence, we are nothing. We're finished. Mm-hmm. See, you got to get to a place where you realize that the presence of God has to become everything. If you don't have the presence of God, that means you don't have His glory. And without His glory, you'll be operating like a mere man. You'll be subjected to the same things everyone else in this world is subjected to. Moses said, if I go before these people without your presence, we know we're outnumbered. We know that we don't have enough power and enough strength to be able to face these nations. We're just a small group of people. Without your presence, or without God's presence, you will seem insignificant to others. But with the presence of God, which is His glory, come on, you become the favor of the nation. Everyone sees you and they see something that they need. They see something that they want. They desire you because of the God and the Christ in you. Amen. So what I'm realizing that in this last days, the glory is going to rise because there is going to be a need where people cannot satisfy that need anywhere else than only the glory of God, only the presence of God that you're going to carry will provide the solution, will provide that answer. We see it already. The sicknesses that people can't get cured of, but only Jesus can touch and heal. Come on. There's solutions that right now that the government is looking for that they can't find, that I believe God is going to raise up people with the solution, and out of that solution, carry the glory of God to that sphere and begin to change things. Amen? This is why this is a generation now where they can't seem to name it. They don't know what's going on. It's like they're just losing control. They're trying to solve this thing. They don't know how it's going to work. I believe the deficit that America is in right now, it's highly believed that we're going to go into a collapse, another depression. But I believe God is going to raise up someone with the answers, with the solution, to change the economy. And out of that, God will raise up a billionaire, a trillionaire to solve that person. I heard a prophecy somewhere that God is going to raise up the first trillionaire out of Georgia. It's going to be a black Christian.
Amen.
The first trillionaire. You guys know right now Facebook is worth $50 billion.
Yep.
Like Mark Zuckerberg has glory right now.
Right.
Facebook is worth $50 billion. He's worth $6.9 billion. Yeah. He's 24, 25. Right? There's an exponential growth. See, right now it's like there's a transferring going on so fast that it's like you, before it took years and years to become wealthy. Now, he's a millionaire, billionaire by the time he's 24, 25.
Yeah.
See, this shift is going on, and we have to position ourselves and prepare for what's happening.
Right.
Things are happening faster than we expect.
Yes.
Things are happening exponentially. Things are multiplying faster. That's why if we can get to a place where we're going to hear from God and receive what the Lord wants to download into His people. Because I believe inventions and all these things that happen, I don't think it starts in the world. I think it starts with the church.
Yes.
I believe God speaks to His people first. And if we fail to move,
right,
then God will pour it out into someone else.
Right.
I think that's been happening for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because even in the sense that if someone goes out and still carry out my will in terms of something that I want to bring to the earth, if I can get someone to minister to them, and impart my glory and my ways into them, then that will just shift over into my glory anyway.
Yeah.
If someone can get a hold of Mark Zuckerberg, if he's not saved, and just minister the gospel to him.
Right.
And he says, you know what, I want to finance the kingdom with this billions that I have.
Yeah.
Was that a man? That's going to happen. Why? Because I already know that there are people in here that God's going to raise up in the area of finances. You're going to be financial stewards. And you're going to finance the work of God. Hungry for God, Vision Camp, and other things. Your churches, your ministry, your personal ministries. God's going to raise this up.
Yes. Yes.
Two things God told me about this year. He said there was going to be a healing grace and a financial grace on the church. There's two things. There's going to be he said there's going to be an oil for healing and an oil for finances. He's going to raise us up, man. Because why? Wealth is going to be huge in manifesting God's glory.
Yeah.
Right? As powerful as anointed I can be, I still can't go into the White House and say anything. Nobody knows me. Yet. But what God will do is position me and leverage me into an arena where I can get to a place where when I speak, everyone's going to reverence me. That's glory. That's the power.
Yes.
Come on. Do we think that, I'm so anointed I can do? No. There's nothing. There's laws here that are operating in this earth realm that you got to abide by.
Yes.
Right? Well, that happened. So we've been trying to pray, for example, we've been trying to pray people into church. We have intercession, we pray, we intercede for souls to come in. But then people, we don't want to go out and minister the gospel to anybody.
Right.
We don't want to go out and show the love of God to anyone.
Right.
And wonder why nobody will come in.
Yep.
No matter how I pray. Why? Because I have to get into another person's sphere. I have to get into their life and their world and operate along those lines.
Amen.
And out of that, I can manifest God's glory.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm almost done. So poor Moses said, God, I don't want to go to this land. I don't want to possess this land. I don't want to possess this promise without your presence. The same thing we should be praying. God, I don't want to do anything without your presence. I don't want to start my ministry without your presence. I don't want to go and start my church without your presence. I don't want to do anything without your presence going before us, God.
Yes, God.
Why? Because Moses said, it is when they see your presence. Bible says, if the presence goes out, we don't carry me there. Let me show you guys this. Verse 13. That I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. He said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. He said, if the presence goes now, we carry us not up, go hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. It is in us, in your presence, that's going to separate us from the rest of the nations of the earth.
Yes.
Moses is like, I don't want to go anywhere without it, without the presence. Without it, we'll just be another nation.
Right.
That will be conquered by love and everybody else.
We can't afford that.
But with you, God, with your presence, with your glory, we become the majority. How many times have you seen the scriptures that the people of Israel slayed nations, two or three nations at a time, with just 300 people, 1,000 people compared to their millions, all because of the presence of God? Even in time when they even Jehoshaphat, they just praised, and the other nations got confused and killed themselves. Come on. Why? Because of the presence of God, amen? That's what we need,
amen?
Hallelujah. So I'm pretty much done. And Moses said in verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. God knows you. How does he get a chance to know you? Through intimacy. You know him. Isn't that what we say in the last days? Lord, we did all these things for you. We cast out devils. We healed the sick. We did all these good works in your name. We prophesied in your name. We manifested all this glory in your name. And he said, depart from me, for I never knew you. I didn't know you. I didn't know your name. Why? Because once again, ministry should always flow out of a place of intimacy with God. We got to know him first.
Right.
We got to know his heart before you start to execute his will.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you cultivate his presence. And then what Moses says in step 18, and he said, I beg you, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Why? Because Moses understood his presence was his glory. Now, how can Moses say, show me your glory? He's seen his glory, right? Didn't he see his glory? He's on the mountains. He was doing all this stuff. He got the laws from him in his presence, right? How can he say, show me your glory? Even matter of fact, the verse that really bugged me out was back in verse 12 when he said, verse 13, when he says, he said, now I pray you, if you find grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you. I'm like, Moses, you mean you don't know God? After encounter, he speaks to you face to face. How do you not know him? Why? Because Moses understood there was something beyond this. See, Moses, he didn't get a chance to experience what we get to experience in the new covenant. God didn't live in him. He never experienced the intimacy and the relationship of having God inside of him. He said, there's something deeper, and I know you got it, and I want that. I'm hearing you. You're coming in, and you show me, but then your glory is lifting off of me, and you're going, I want this thing where your glory stays in me. But he couldn't get that yet, because that was only reserved for Jesus. Look at it in verse 19. God said, I will make all my goodness. He said, Moses asked for glory. God said, I'm going to show you my goodness. Let it pass before you. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord to go before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show you mercy in whom I will show mercy. And then he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And he said, behold, there is a place by me, you shall stand upon the rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Because in 2 Corinthians 4:6, that the glory was found in the knowledge of Jesus, in the face of Jesus. But Jesus didn't come to the earth yet. The glory wasn't going to rest on Moses. So God didn't invest himself in Moses. He invested in Jesus himself coming to the earth. Amen?
Amen.
So what we're saying is actually the glory of the Lord, the glory of God is his presence. His presence is the glory. And the anointing is his power, which is the manifestation of his presence. When we talk about the anointing, you know, I feel the anointing. See, you really don't feel the presence of God. He is spirit. Our flesh doesn't feel his presence. What you feel is the anointing. You feel the power. You don't feel his presence. His presence is a work in us. It's invisible, number one. But you see his glory. You see a manifestation of his presence. You see a manifestation of that. Right? But you never feel his presence. But we say that, oh, I feel your presence, I feel it. You know, you can see, really and surely you really don't. But you do feel an expression or a manifestation of his presence, which is to be his glory, his power you feel. Amen?
Amen.
And the glory in his presence is where his power comes from. And what we want to do, like Moses said, God, I want your abiding presence to go before me. And that's what's going to separate me from everyone else in the world. That is our desire, that we will have the glory of God, his presence, to go before us. And all the nations, all the people will stand in awe of the glory of you. Amen. God, I want you to make me great on this earth, because when I am great, I can manifest your greatness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm done.
Hey, that was great. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a round of applause for his glory.
Hallelujah.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Christ in us has become a home of glory.
Yes.
That glory is restored to us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're not worried about your sins anymore.
Jesus
paid the way, destroyed our sins on the cross.
Thank you, God.
We have all the hope of glory in the world. See, it's the hope of glory, because once you put your faith in his word, then it becomes true to you. See, if you're hoping for the glory, as long as you remain outside, as long as you remain behind the veil, you ain't going to experience it. You got to press in behind the veil, amen? We're going to take it this time, the rest of this weekend, to press in behind our old ways of thinking, behind our Old Testament thinking. We're going to press behind the veil, and we're going to go beyond it and begin to experience the glory of God, amen? How many people know that Jesus' name, his name, see, the names of God ushers in his presence. When we proclaim his name, we give God permission to manifest his glory. Yes. Jesus said, God said, I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord, and my glory will pass before you. That's why when you say in the name of Jesus, see, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you're not just saying that to close your prayer.
Right.
So that again? When you say in the name of Jesus, you initiate. It's like a trigger in the realm of the spirit.
Yes.
When you say the names of God, you release something.
Yes.
And we live in his name, because when we live in his name, we have the ability to manifest his glory, manifest his presence. See, if I had the ability to use the name of Bill Gates, and I have authorization to use that name, wherever I go, Bill Gates doesn't have to be there. I can walk into the same doors Bill Gates has.
Yeah.
If I had connections to Oprah and I had the ability to use her name, Oprah sent me, I get to walk into where she will go. Come on. Hallelujah. When we use the name of Jesus, the name of God, the realm of glory and the abilities that we have in Jesus' name, I can use that name. I can bring, see, there's a shift that happens every time you say his name. There's an authority shift, there's a weight shift, there's a power shift, there's an attention shift, because in the name of Jesus, all the hosts of heaven begin to stand behind you, stand beside you, begin to acknowledge you, because you are carrying the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are carrying the glory of Christ, when you can use his name and speak to situations and they begin to affect, be affected by the name of the glory of God, his wealth, his splendor, his majesty, his power. Come on. That is what we use the name of Jesus for. Hallelujah. So let's lift up the name of Jesus before we leave here. Let's begin to lift up the name of the glorious God of Israel. Thank you. doors of God. Release now ideas, concepts that will bring you glory. Release now songs, people, resources that will all bring you glory. Glory. Father, the answers to solve the problems in our economy, the answers to solve the problems in our neighborhoods. Give it to us, Father. Strategy, insight, wisdom, counsel. That we will manifest your glory, God. That we'll be great in this land. We'll be a mighty people. We will be a mighty people. We will be a glorious people. We will be a glorious church. We will be a mighty force that we reckon with as the glory before the Lord.
Thank you. Hallelujah.